ഓമജ്ഞാനാക്ഷിമിരന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനാശലകയ ചക്ഷുർമീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാമയം ദദാതി സ്വപദന്തികം. നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമാതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനീതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ വഞ്ചകൃഭ്യശ്ച കൃപസിന്ധുഭ്യവീതനം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശിവാചാര്യ ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. Honored and pleased to be here today on this auspicious occasion. In a way, I felt deprived because I did not know that Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj had departed until several weeks later, and I was unable to be with the devotees to remember him and glorify him then. I was in Mayapur on the day he left, but due to some emergency, I had to leave the GBC meetings early. So I did see him in the morning. He was a member of a number of committees, and he was in one of the meetings in the morning, and I went to take permission from the chairman to leave. And they were sitting at the around the table in a very, serious, business-like mood. And fortunately, when I entered the room, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj's seat was right there. And so I thought, I can't miss this opportunity. I thought for a minute about the circumstances, and then I thought, well, I can't miss this opportunity. So I bowed down and grabbed his feet and put my head on his feet. And he very mercifully and affectionately rubbed my back and head, and I looked in his eyes, and at the time I thought he was looking into my eyes, but now I think maybe he was just seeing through me. And then I left. We had the devotees asked me to stay, and I did stay for the Pushpanjali to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and even took a little prasad and then left for the airport. And then I was not in communication with devotees for many weeks. I didn't have a computer then, or maybe I did, but I didn't know how to use it. And it was actually, I think, at least 4 weeks later when His Holiness Radhanath Swami came to visit me in Chicago that he told me. And then I knew. My first extended association with Maharaj came when he visited Mauritius and stayed for about 2 weeks. And at that time, I could see his dedication to Srila Prabhupada, because he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam into Oriya. And he wouldn't eat until he had finished his quota of translation. So much of the time he was translating, but he would give classes. And the classes would run for a long time. And the questions and answers. And hearing him speak was fascinating. And I was just starting to be a little more serious about studying the literature in our tradition. And I found that his talks really demonstrated a full knowledge of the literature and art tradition and his realization of it. But I was, I was a little proud, and he dealt with me in a very nice way to humble me. Once I approached him, and I was just studying a little more seriously the Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I was talking to him about the five most potent items of devotional service. And one of them is Mathura Vas, residing in Mathura, Vrindavan. And he looked at me and he said, Kamsa also lived in Mathura. And then I just saw it all. I just saw it all. He had seen through all my pretension and shown me the truth. He was very kind. He spoke about Srila Prabhupada's refusal to come to Jagannath Puri because the administrators or priests of the temple were refusing to allow his disciples to come into the temple. And Maharaj compared Prabhupada's mood, it's a technical term, but probably you're all very educated in the scriptures, but he compared Prabhupada's mood to man, which is a sort of, you could say, anger, or Maharaj himself uses the word sulkiness, but I wouldn't use that word to describe Srila Prabhupada, but you know, sort of like a sort of anger and refusal to interact. I think that was it. And he felt that his mission was to remove Srila Prabhupada's man and create a situation in which he would agree to come to Puri. Later, Maharaj would come to Juhu when he would return from his international travels. And I would meet him in his room, and he would always speak very nice Krishna Katha. Once I went to see him before leaving for a program, and he told me this wonderful story about Krishna and Vrinda Devi, and how she gave Krishna advice how to break Radharani's man. And the time was just passing, and I didn't even want to look at my wristwatch because I didn't want to know how late it was. But I think that was a good example of his childlike innocence, just pouring out the nectar of Krishna Katha. And then I also, so I'll skip ahead now to when I came to Orissa for the first time, which was after Maharaj had left. I do remember flying into the Bhubaneswar airport, and as I recall, it was just a very strong feeling I had that I cannot enter Puri without the mercy of Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj. You know, before that I had been at Govardhan, and I met my godbrother Parthasarathi Das Goswami. And I mentioned that I'm going to Jagannath Puri for the first time, and I asked if he had any advice. He said, you should read Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj's book, The Embankment of Separation, and you'll find it very useful. That book is the key to entering Jagannath Puri. So when I arrived at the airport, it was just very clear to me that I had to go to Bhubaneswar first. And have darshan of Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj there and take his permission, get his blessings. And after doing so, I felt, yes, I can go to Puri by his mercy. And Madhavananda Prabhu was kind enough to take me to various places and share with me many esoteric truths about Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri Dham. And You know, as Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj said, that one can hear the spiritual master speak through other voices. I really felt that Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj was speaking to me through Madhavananda Prabhu. And I know that so much of what he actually was saying had come from Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj. And also how Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj wanted us to uphold the prestige or the good name of Srila Prabhupada. So I did feel Madhavananda Prabhu was doing that in relation to Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj. And I'm so indebted to Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj for that little access to Jagannath Puri, which is such an important part of our tradition. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent his last years there and manifested his most confidential pastimes there. And I feel completely indebted to Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj for having allowed me that little access. I mean, I'm just really hovering on the furthest outskirts, but that little access is his mercy. I had heard from Madhavananda Prabhu about Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj's three concerns, and they really touched my heart. And I could see the way he would speak about Srila Prabhupada's books. He was actually demonstrating that everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. In fact, I think it was when we were in Mauritius, he said that Srila Prabhupada's books are like an ocean, and there are precious gems at the bottom of the ocean, but you can only get them if you go deep. So he was saying Srila Prabhupada's books are like that, an ocean, and there are precious gems within them, but you have to go deep. And he went deep, and he helped us to go deep. And so I feel very indebted to him for that. He wanted to preach, travel and preach to make the preachers strong and steady. And I thank him for that. I know so many devotees who were maybe a little weak, a little bit faltering in spiritual life, but by his association, they were strengthened, given courage, given knowledge, given shelter. And Hare Krishna. So I believe that Maharaj really was successful in achieving what he set out to do. And also his desire to show that everything is in ISKCON. Now, in a way, I could say that it was easier to say that you can get everything in ISKCON when he was still alive. But in his magnanimity and wisdom, I think that it's true in another way, because he has given us the inspiration, the knowledge, the skills to ourselves become more purified and simple and realized devotees. And the more we can follow his directions and try to fulfill his desires for us as servants of Srila Prabhupada, the more that the truth that everything is in ISKCON will be revealed, or that everything that is in ISKCON will be more fully manifest. And I think it's his purity of purpose. I mean, you can't do what he did. Of course, none of us can do anything on our own strength, but I think because of his intense, sincere desire to serve Srila Prabhupada in those ways that Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him, and enlightened devotees within their hearts to realize what he was doing for them, like what His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj experienced, that actually having no doubt that Srila Prabhupada was speaking to him through Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, and then Gaura Govinda Maharaj himself quoting the statement that the spiritual master speaks through the mouths of Vaishnava. So we've all been touched by Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj, and we continue to be touched by him. And I'm really glad that I could be here with all of you and with my exalted God brothers. And I hope that I can keep in my heart as much of what I've gotten from Maharaj today in your association, and that I will be able to come again and again and participate in this sacred festival. One last point, I wasn't sure whether to mention it, but I think I will. On the controversial idea, on the idea that Maharaj was controversial, I've heard it said that a lot of the controversy came from some of Maharaj's immature followers, that the way they spoke created controversy, and that devotees, rightly or wrongly, would trace their words back to Maharaj. And just yesterday, I heard a very, very interesting account from Hari Vilas Prabhu, who had taken notes for his talk about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as seen through Srila Prabhupada. And also Srila Kishordas Babaji Maharaj as seen through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there was a person named Mitra who came to Mayapur in search of a guru. And he went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he didn't like what he saw. He saw this man is busy acquiring properties and dealing with money and keeping accounts. And he thought, this is not what I was looking for. So he left him and he went to Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj engaged him, and he became probably the most prominent personal attendant of Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. But he turned out, I mean, from the very beginning, I would say, he started on the wrong foot. And he used his position as being close to Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj to, like what we heard, like you couldn't get to Babaji Maharaj unless you went through Mitra, this person Mitra. And Mitra was a very duplicitous person. And Babaji Maharaj lived very simply. And he told Mitra that if anyone brings sweets, because they would, you know, they bring him nice Bengali sweets and he said, don't accept them. But this Mitra, he was secretly accepting the sweets and eating them. And when the people would come back, he would tell them, yes, I gave the sweets to Babaji Maharaj, and he appreciated them. Now, Mitra's mind became so polluted by his deviousness that he began to have sexual relations with the wives of devotees. And all this time, he continued on in his position as Babaji Maharaj's attendant. And whenever Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would come, Mitra would not allow him to see his spiritual master. Wouldn't allow him to see Srila Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was thinking, you know, as a humble disciple, he was thinking, maybe my Guru Maharaj sees some, you know, duplicity in me. Maybe he wants to purify me, and that's why he's not allowing me to see him. And then once, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came when Babaji Maharaj was outside, sort of open, openly accessible. And somebody had tried to take some dust from Babaji Maharaj's lotus feet, and Babaji Maharaj was chastising him and saying, get away, you know, don't touch my feet, nobody can touch my feet, it's, you know. And then when he saw Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gathered up all the dust at his feet and came and he rubbed it all over Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's head. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was mortified. What is Guru Maharaj trying to teach me? Is he, like, he just said not to do that, and now he's personally doing it to me even more. What does this mean? Is he like chastising me? He was confused. And along with all the times that Mitra had not allowed him to meet his Guru Maharaj, he was really questioning what his Guru Maharaj thought about him. So, I won't repeat all the details, and I don't remember all the details, but eventually Srila Bhakti Siddhanta came, and in front of this Mitra person, he glorified Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and basically saying he was just glorifying him. And then he turned to Mitra and he said, I know everything that you have been doing. I know exactly what you have been doing. Now, I want you to leave me. I want you to go to Calcutta. Get yourself married. Get a job. And live like an honest householder. Now, the purport of this story, as Hari Vilas Prabhu related it to me, is that it is very difficult to understand why an exalted Vaishnava, or why a spiritual master, will allow someone into a certain position, even though the person may cause harm in the position. And I'm not trying to draw any specific parallels, but I'm just relating this to the, you could say, accusation that Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj's disciples or followers, some of them, were creating a lot of controversy. And the result of the controversy was that blame was going to Gaura Govinda Maharaj. And then the answer to that was, well, then why doesn't Gaura Govinda Maharaj do something about them? Isn't it his duty to do something about them? So somehow I'm just connecting this incident with Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji and Mitra, that somehow Babaji Maharaj allowed him to remain in that position for some reason. And but anyway, when we're talking about the exalted Vaishnavas, whoever the person is, they're getting the Vaishnava's mercy. That's all I can say. I don't want to like say anything negative about anyone, but somehow or other, coming in touch with an exalted Vaishnava, you get mercy in one way or another. And how that Vaishnava gives mercy, how he deals with an individual, why he deals in a particular way may be beyond our comprehension. But we should have faith that that Vaishnav is bestowing his mercy on behalf of Krishna and his Guru Maharaj, and just take it like that, and prostrate ourselves at that Vaishnava's lotus feet and beg for his mercy in whatever way he can give it to us and others. So I prostrate myself at the lotus feet of Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj and pray for his mercy. He can kick me or pat me as he sees fit, and I will take it as his mercy. But I do pray that he'll allow me to stay in this association. Hare Krishna.